puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Shanna Lee.
So what are we discussing this week?
Well, last November, the Winnipeg Architecture Foundation published a book written by historian Murray Peterson, and it was about the first Jewish architect in Western Canada. His name was Max Blankstein, and over the course of a 27-year career, he designed many fine buildings around Manitoba. But his impact was even longer than that. So today, we're examining the legacy of what I call the Designing Blanksteins.
Ooh, can you tell me about Max Blankstein?
Well, he was born at Odessa, which today is in Ukraine, in 1874. And he trained there as an architect, probably under his father, but we're not entirely sure. In 1904, at the age of 30, he emigrated to Winnipeg with his wife Esther and their two young children. Tragedy struck 2 years later when Esther Blankstein died at the age of just 25. A year later, he married his late wife's sister, Lena, and they went on to have five more children. Of Max's seven children, three eventually became architects, probably, at least in part, to their home life.
Oh, can you explain more about that?
Well, unlike most architects who do their design work in an office, you know, maybe downtown, Max Blankstein always worked in his home. And so as a result, his kids saw on a daily basis the work that their father did. You know, I'd like to think that this inspired them to become architects too.
And what kind of work was that?
Well, Max Blankstein designed a wide range of buildings, including at least three synagogues or churches, 30 stores, 25 apartment blocks, and over 50 homes, including his own. He seems to have had a particular affinity for theaters, having designed no fewer than seven of them. Among his theaters was the Uptown Theater on Academy Road here in Winnipeg and the Lido Theater in the Paw. The Lido, well, it's significant in a couple of ways. It was the first theater designed purposely to show movies with sound. Of course, sound movies were just starting in the 1920s. The Lido was built in 1929, so it was the very first one to take advantage of this new technology. It was also the only building that Max Blankstein designed outside of Winnipeg, at least here in Manitoba. He did design a couple of theaters outside of Manitoba, but only one was in the Paw here in the province. Max continued to work until shortly before his death in 1931 at the relatively young age of 57.
So I'm familiar with some of those buildings, and I didn't realize who was the person behind those designs. But now I have to ask, are any of Max's buildings abandoned?
Well, of course, that's our theme, eh? And yes, in sort of. The Lido Theatre, for example, is presently closed. I wouldn't say it's been abandoned necessarily. Its owner does hope to reopen it when business conditions improve. But Blankstein's Palace Theatre on Selkirk Avenue is undoubtedly abandoned. In fact, we've talked about it on this series back in 2017. It is basically an empty shell, and the current owner would like to demolish it if they can. Blankstein's Roxy Theater on Henderson Highway, which was later turned into a bowling alley, it was closed last year and is now standing vacant. There are fears that the Roxy may soon be demolished. Most of his residential buildings are still occupied, but one notable exception is the Reuben Block on Osborne. It was damaged by a fire in 2014, and it's been sitting empty ever since, much to the chagrin of the neighborhood and to heritage advocates.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, the Reuben Block is another one that's very familiar to so many of us right there on Osborne. And it's had a long, long history, and it's been sitting vacant for so long. Now, Gordon, you mentioned that three of his kids became architects. Now, what can you tell us about them?
Well, the eldest child who became an architect was his son Cecil, born in 1908. He trained under the provincial architect, a fellow named Gilbert Parfitt, until 1931, when he formed an architectural practice with three other men, Lawrence Green, Gordon Russell, and Ralph Ham. The firm worked throughout the Depression and the Second World War, but it was during the 1940s and 50s that it really came into its own. It was known by heritage advocates, at least today, as GBR, Green, Blankstein, and Russell. And the firm developed a very distinctive style that it applied to churches, commercial buildings, and offices around the province. So there's many, many buildings with a GBR heritage. I can just list a very few. Things like the Sherry Zedek Synagogue on Wellington Crescent that is presently undergoing restoration. The Elizabeth Defoe Library at the University of Manitoba. The Great West Life Building on Osborne. And the first portions of the Polo Park Shopping Mall. But perhaps the building for which the firm is best known is Winnipeg's City Hall. And it was built between 1963 and 1964.
Is there any abandonment in the GBR history?
Well, maybe not overtly abandonment, at least in the strictest sense. There are quite a few GBR buildings that have been demolished, including the outpatient building at the St. Boniface Hospital, the Mall Medical Building, just not far from the CBC studios here. It was demolished, by the way, in 2017 to make way for an expansion of the Winnipeg Art Gallery next door. The Pembina Hotel, or the Pemby, as everybody used to refer to it, on Pembina Highway. The original Winnipeg Airport Terminal, widely regarded as a beautiful modernist building. It was torn down to make the present airport terminal, and the Civic Center Parkade near the City Hall. But there is at least one GBR building that is abandoned. That's the former Campbell Soup plant in Portage-la-Prairie. We discussed it way back in 2017. It was closed in 1991, and it's been basically mostly empty ever since.
So is GBR still in operation?
Well, not under Cecil Blankstein. He passed away in 1989, but his company did carry on after he passed away. And in principle, GBR does still exist. But in 2004, it was acquired by a large Edmonton-based firm. Today, it does architectural work under the name Stantec.
Okay, so that's Cecil Blankstein. Who is the next Blankstein architect?
Well, that would be Evelyn Blankstein, born in 1913. She was one of the first women in Manitoba to practice as an architect, first with her brother Cecil, and later for a company for which she designed architectural glass, sculptures and attractive sort of ornamentation out of glass, and for things like stores, movie theaters, offices, factories, and those sort of things. I suspect, though, that her gender did limit her ability to practice through the years, as there was a period, of course, when women were not encouraged to seek employment outside the home. Evelyn Blankstein passed away in 2001.
What about the third architect among Max Blankstein's children?
The youngest of the designing Blanksteins was Morley, born in 1924. After completing his education in architecture, he worked at GBR for a time until he formed his own company in 1955. Initially, it was known as Blankstein, Coop, Gilmore, and Hanna. Yeah, a little long. But after that company merged with another company in 1964, it became Waisman, Ross, Blankstein, Coop, Gilmore, and Hanna. A real mouthful. So they worked under that unwieldy name for 5 years until finally in 1970, they renamed themselves after their office location, which was at 10 Donald Street. It became Number 10 Architectural Group. And that firm remains in operation today, although Morley Blankstein, he passed away in 2015.
What notable buildings did Morley Blankstein's firm design?
Well, again, there were many. At the University of Manitoba, for example, they designed the pharmacy building in 1962. And my office is located in that building, quite an attractive building. They designed the pavilions in Kildonan Park and the International Peace Garden. We discussed those pavilions back in 2022. And they designed the Manitoba Theatre Centre building on Market Avenue. And there are many, many others.
And you got to tell us, Gordon, is there any abandonment there?
Not that I know of. Then again, I do depend on people all over Manitoba, especially many of our listeners, for updates on the status of buildings. So if anyone knows about an abandoned Blankstein building that I didn't mention today, do please get in touch with me. Otherwise, I hope at least some of our listeners will get out, as, the weather is turning nicer in the coming weeks, to admire the many fine buildings around Manitoba that were designed by the Blanksteins. The Manitoba Historical Society's database of historic sites can help in locating them. Simply search our interactive map using the keywords Blankstein or GBR or Number 10.
This has been so interesting. And I'm looking at some of these buildings in a different way now. What are we going to be talking about in 2 weeks?
Well, next time we are going to visit a couple of dozen abandoned sites all around southern Manitoba. What they have in common was a use that was intense but short, barely for 5 years for most of them.
Thanks so much, Gordon, and it's nice to have you back in studio.
I'm glad to be here. It's been 3 years before I've been back, so I'm glad to be here.
Welcome back.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.